Athens had the legal right to capture Amphipolis back. And by 417, 416 BC, that restless king of Macedon, Perdiccas II, was always intriguing with the rebels up there and making noises that the Athenians might not be allowed to cut timber in Macedon. You know, the usual stuff the Macedonian king does. So Nicias began to urge caution, to back off from the confrontation with Sparta, to live by the terms of the peace of Nicias, the peace that bore his own name. In many ways, and Professor Donald Kagan, who is a political historian of the Greek world of this period and very, very perceptive on the politics that go on in these assemblies, made a comment which I think is very true. That is, the Athenians were faced after the Battle of Mantinea with two choices. Either you've got to ratchet up the confrontation with Sparta and the Peloponnesus, or back off and pursue a policy that would be accommodation with Sparta, live by the terms of the peace, and perhaps in some ways at this point would be the preferable policy. Alcibiades, of course, would lose in such a scenario because he wouldn't be at the center of some kind of great adventure in which he could use his oratory, pal around with diplomats and proxenoi from other cities. And it just wasn't ambitious enough. And Alcibiades had that trait that was later attributed to King Philip of Macedon. He is polypragmasune, constantly in motion. He's constantly moving around. He's got to do things. Well, in 417 BC, there was apparently an ostracism when Alcibiades hoped to resolve this decision and get rid of Nicias and carry out some sort of adventurous policy. And we are told by Plutarch and Thucydides that apparently it could have been in either 417 or 416. It was the climax of this debate over what policy Athens should pursue. And there were at least several contenders, Nicias, Alcibiades, a man named Phyax. There were a number of political figures in Athens. But in the second Prytany, that is in the second official month of the Athenian calendar, the Athenian assembly had voted to hold an ostracism. This is the first one in a generation. This was going to be a big decision. And the candidates were clearly either Nicias or Alcibiades, and whoever remained was going to dictate the policy of Athens in the assembly. By the time the vote came, 4 months later in the sixth Prytany, neither side, neither Alcibiades or Nicias, or for that matter, some of the other leading politicians, knew how the assembly would vote. And what they did is they agreed to pool their voters and ostracize a guy named Hyperbolus, who was a political hack of the third order. And I could just... This is where I so much wish we had documentary cameras in ancient Greece. I would love to have seen the expression of Hyperbolus when he gets the majority votes for the ostracism and most of the... This guy was a small fry demagogue. He eventually ends up in the islands of the Aegean. And while it protected Nicias and Alcibiades, it didn't resolve the political dilemma. They were still left as leading figures, and it's a testimony to how factionalized the assembly had become at this point, how Mantinea had failed to resolve anything, how Nicias could not persuade a majority to go with the peace, how Alcibiades still couldn't quite command the assembly, and the Athenians really had democracy on their hands, with votes very difficult to predict, and we don't know the inner workings of how voters turned out, whatever, but we do know the aftermath of this ostracism, which was more political deadlock. Well, under these circumstances, the Athenians launch an expedition against the city of Melos. It is an island, Anis Polis, in the Cyclades. And this occurred in 416 BC, probably anywhere from 4 to 16 months after the ostracism, depending when you think it happened.